Good morning, church family. Wow, can't believe it. Walla Walla's a long ways away. It's good to be back. You know, every Sabbath, I just had this overwhelming urge to get in my car and to go to worship. But as I said, Walla Walla's a long ways from Point Loma. I did worship in a place my son attends, a church that he attends, and I was blessed, but nothing like being with my own family. Though it's kind of ironic, you know, I left my family to go visit my family, and then I left my family to come back to my family. So it's kind of being pulled by two families. Anyway, I love you guys, and it's great to be back and to be here and to be worshiping. Thank you, worship team, for leading in such a beautiful. You folks, you really have no idea how wonderful the worship is here until you've been somewhere else and you come back. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I'm always just blessed so much by our worship experience. I may ask the team to do a song at the end of the sermon. So be prepared. Yeah. Psalms 91. My first introduction to this psalm was as a young, very young child. In fact, I don't even remember when it started. I just know that every so often on Friday night vespers, our family would recite this, and my mother, I think it was sort of my mother that instigated it. She had it memorized from childhood. And if you knew my mother, who is now 98, going on 99, if you knew my mother, you would know that her life was a life with quite a bit of turmoil and at times fear and anxiety, wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things that happened throughout her life. And I just know that this passage of Scripture, this psalm, was not just something she recited by rote memory, but it was something that was very deep and very real to her. Because I know that when she would recite it, sometimes there would be tears in her eyes. So I know that had tremendous deep meaning. She lost her mother at a very young age to malaria in the jungles of Borneo. And I know that it really had a tremendous, a very sad effect on her life. And over the years, whenever she talked about it, she would always tear up. So the book of Psalms, as you know, is written by David. There are a few of them that some believe may have been poetry or songs that came from other poets or other writers. In fact, this particular psalm, some think it may have been written by Moses. We don't really know, but there were obviously songs that David was familiar with that he sang from his childhood that he learned from his father and his mother or at his church, and he, I believe, included some of those. So I'm not sure he's the author of all the psalms and all of the poetry in this particular book, but I'm just glad that he wrote it down so we have it today. I want to spend a couple of weeks on the topic of the secret place. If I were to ask you where your secret place is, what would your answer be? You don't need to answer it out loud. Just in your mind, think about where that would be. Where is my secret place? Some of you might be saying, well, I don't really have a secret place. Well, let me ask those of you that are married or engaged or have been dating, do you have a secret place? A place that you can go back to physically, literally. Maybe it's on the shore of one of our beaches here in San Diego, a place where the two hearts came together, a place where maybe the gentleman knelt and handed the woman a beautiful ring and said, would you please marry me? Maybe it was in the woods somewhere. Maybe it was just... Anyways, you all have that place, that secret place that in your mind or physically you can go back to and say, this was a special place. This was a place of joy. This was a place of safety. This was a place where something significant and special happened. You know, when I think of a safe place, my mind goes back to many different places in my memory. One of my favorite places was sitting on my grandmother's knee or in her lap in her favorite rocking chair, which I have a copy of in my living room. And it's what's interesting is that rocking chair is the same rocking chair my wife's grandmother had. And that's actually her chair that we have. So it's an old chair made probably in the 1930s, maybe 40s. It's called a swan neck chair. And it's really comfortable. It has these beautiful wooden arms that have the head of a swan on them, and they're carved. And that always intrigued me. And I would sit there and just enjoy and just absorb the love and the safety that I felt sitting there in Grandma's rocking chair and being rocked and her telling me that she loves me and just all the wonderful experiences. So to me, that was a safe place. It was a secret place. The secret place can also be somewhere that you have gone to wrestle out the issues of your life with God. Sometimes it's a wrestling mat, literally. If you think of Jacob, that wrestling match he had, that was a secret place. There was an event that took place on that piece of land, that little piece of land, that wrestling mat, an event that took place that changed his future. It changed his entire life. It changed his name. It changed the future of his family. Do you have a place that you can point to in your life and say, there is where I found the Lord. There is where I've had a deeper relationship. I experienced a deeper relationship with my Lord and Savior. Sometimes the secret place is what we used to call the woodshed. They don't threaten that anymore. I don't know if you ever got threatened to be taken out to the woodshed. That's kind of an older term. My dad never threatened me with that, but I've heard people use that term. You know, it's a place where discipline was met out. I don't think people have woodsheds anymore. I guess there could be an equivalent of it. Marty has one in his backyard, but it's not really a woodshed, but it's a little shed that he does artwork there. So it's a beautiful place. That's kind of a neat place he goes to, you see. And so the secret place is different for each of us. It's a place that we found safety, a place we found security, a place that we discovered a closer relationship with our God, a place of wrestling, a place of grappling with the difficulties and the future and of our lives and the hardship that often we receive in our daily lives. You know, David was a man who did all of that in his secret place. It was a place that we find that he went to often throughout his life, whether his life was up or down, whether he was happy or discouraged. David was consistent in seeking out God in that secret place. It's a place that is not built by hands, by human hands. It's a place where God's glory resides, the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God. It has an inner sanctuary where, by faith, we discover the indwelling God who sits on the mercy seat, a God of mercy, a God of love, a God who cares for us individually and is prepared and ready to embrace us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to empower us to live through the difficult times of our lives. In this particular passage of Scripture, we find some interesting references to God. By the way, if you ever want to know a little bit more about how God describes himself, you need to go through the Bible. I'll let you do this. It's something that's very interesting. You all have your iPads or your computers. You can Google the names of God. And by reading the names of God and understanding the Hebrew meaning behind those names, you will also get better in touch with God's character and who He is. In this particular passage of Scripture, if you have your Bibles, if you don't, there's probably one in the pew in front of you there. And turn to Psalms 91. We'll find several references to God. And the Hebrew words are, to me, very interesting, because I always like to go back and look at the original words that are used. Because when you read your Bible, you will often find, you know, when you find the word God, that's what the translators, that's the word they chose. However, that word might have come from other words, such as El Shaddai, El Elyon, Elohim, Yahweh, on and on and on. Okay? So when God is speaking here, or rather when David's talking about God, he's referring to a specific aspect of God's character in relationship to this secret place. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The Most High. There you go. There's your first reference. The Most High is the word Elyon. Elyon. The Most High. The God above all. The one who is overseeing it all. The one who is in control of it all. The shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. There's your second reference to God's character, or the kind of God that David is talking about here. The El Shaddai God. Okay? It's interesting that it says you'll rest in the shadow. What does that remind you of? Whenever, if you've ever been out in the desert, Palm Springs, like this time of year. You really don't want to be out in the heat on the desert without water, without some way of moving on, getting out of there. Because if you don't have water and you don't have a means of transportation, you're going to look for the shadiest spot you can find. I remember one time our family went for a little hike out into the desert, and we were looking for, and I can't remember the exact spot, but there's a number of places where you can find fossils, just little shells and things, and it's a pretty hot spot. This was almost 40 years ago. And they'd taken our little Cocker Spaniel. We had an experiential knowledge of what Palm Springs temperatures are like, or the desert, and it's grueling. And we took this little puppy Cocker Spaniel, and in the early morning it was fine. We were out walking, and the cocker was having a good time running along. But as it got warmer and warmer, the little thing was running from one shady spot to the next. Even a cactus made shade for this little puppy. Well, soon I began to realize that we had gone too far. We needed to go back. And we were running out of water. And this poor little puppy was really dehydrated. And it was then that I found out that you can actually get moisture out of cactus. If you cut them, there's a spongy in the middle, and you can get some water out of it. So that the puppy had to drink water. Shadow, the shadow. If you're in a hot spot in your life, you're in a difficult spot in your life, you are literally burning up in a sense. The shadow of the Almighty is a beautiful place to be. It's a place to rest. Remember the story of Elijah when he had been on the top of Mount Carmel, and God had used him in a mighty way to perform a tremendous visual, a miracle of the power of God. And then he suddenly became fearful, and his life was threatened by the queen, and so he ran out into the desert place. You don't have to run too far in the Middle East to find desert. Most people live in the desert in the Middle East. But he ran, and he became worried, and he became tired, and he laid down in the shade of a tree, of a little bush probably, and fell asleep. And God then came to him and talked to him and nourished him and gave him sustenance and food, and then they went up to a cave. But he was in the shadow. God was there. God was watching over him. God cared for him, even though he was discouraged and disappointed. God was there. The shadow of the Almighty. Remember this. Regardless of where you are in your life, regardless of how difficult the circumstances, how painful the circumstances, how discouraging the circumstances, remember that God is there. Okay? I know we're always looking for something else. When we're in trouble, we always are looking for something else. We don't often look for the shadow of the Almighty. You can find peace. You can find rest. You can find assurance. You can find hope in the shadow. We can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. By the way, the word, the interesting thing here for this particular reference to God, the Almighty God, the Shaddai. There have been many word studies done on this particular word and the root of the word. Some professors, some theologians believe it comes from the word shad. And the word shad is in the feminine gender. And it refers to the one who sustains life, who nurses, the one who provides for the child, the baby. It is literally in reference to a female, a mother nursing her child. Very interesting. Shaddai, the idea that we can see God as that loving female sort of personality, that nurturing, that grandmother in the rocking chair that rocks us and nurtures us and holds us close and says sweet things in our ears and tells us that she loves us. That's going to start a whole thing of questions, and you can talk to me later about that. But I like that idea, though, that there's an aspect of God, a part of God that sort of is like our mothers and our grandmothers. I like that. It's okay with me. All right? So El Shaddai, the gracious provider, the sustainer of life, the one that nurtures. All right? So you're getting a picture here? The Elyon, the Most High, the one above all. The El Shaddai, the one in the rocking chair, the nurturer, the lover, the gracious provider. And then we move on in our passage here. I will say, verse 2, I will say of the Lord. By the way, if it's a capital L, it's most likely the word Yahweh. Okay? I'm sorry. Yes, Yahweh. Okay? Lord, eternal God, the one who is the covenant keeper. All right? The one who keeps the covenants. The one in the secret place who keeps covenants with us. God has given us His promises in His Word. He has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can claim to be sons and daughters of God. It's through Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven and we become united and we become one in a relationship with God. By the way, I was looking, you know, once again at our little part of our bulletin here. It says our mission. We've had this here, and I'm always looking for ways of trying to help us understand the cycle of our church life here, in a growth pattern in our lives as individuals, but also as a church. And the idea of covenanting, the God of covenants, He is a God of covenants. He makes covenants. He never breaks His covenants. He always fulfills those covenants. He is faithful and true. He is the God of covenants. And so when we make a covenant with God, He is there, always there to fulfill that covenant, that relationship. And by the way, a covenant is a two-way thing. It's not one way. It's not God just making a covenant. It's us making a covenant with Him. So when you marry someone, it's not you just marrying that person. They are marrying you also. It's a two-way thing, okay? It's a two-way relationship. And so we have a reference here to that covenant. And as I was looking at this, I'm thinking, wow, you know, there's some beautiful parallels in our passage here of God's character being revealed to us. But at the very center, we have knowing God. And as I thought about this over the last week or two, and I had one of these in my Bible, and every time I would sit down to study and to read, I would see this again. It kept popping up on me. And I finally thought, wow, you know, knowing God, what is the ultimate? Knowing God is a secret place, isn't it? It should be a secret place. It's when you go to your secret place, it's there you find God. You see? And all these other elements, the covenant, the worship, the learning, the community, the maturity, the outreach, all of these things are what we rediscover. All of these things are what we are part of, or rather they are part of that relationship that we have with God there in the secret place. And so as we grow in our relationship and understanding of God, we realize that the very first step that we make towards God, towards a relationship, towards that knowing God, is what? To confess Jesus as what? Our personal Savior. That's the first step. Step towards that indwelling, that secret place, is to confess that Jesus is a Savior. The Bible tells us that anyone who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. You see? So it's in confessing that Jesus is Lord that we enter into that covenant, into that relationship, into that secret place, that knowing God. The second thing that as we move closer to and become connected with God in that secret place is that we proclaim Him as our Lord. We proclaim Him as our Lord. There are many Christians, as I've said before, there are many Christians who go around talking about, yeah, Jesus, you know, Jesus this and Jesus that, and they call themselves Jesus freaks and all those other things. You know, I remember when I was a teenager in high school, everybody had this finger like that, you know, that a patch. I had one on the back of my jacket, and I had one, a sticker on my windshield, and Jesus is one, you know, Jesus is the way. And that's great, okay? There's nothing wrong. We need to confess the fact that Jesus is our Lord. But there's another step. We have to go the next step. You see? The next step is to proclaim Him as Lord. He's our Savior. We proclaim Him as our Lord. When we proclaim Him as our Lord, changes begin to take place in our life. Personal changes. Relationships with other people begin to change. Relationships with the world around us, that changes. He becomes the ruler of our life. We sing about it, but do we practice it? He doesn't just force Himself into our lives. He knocks it on the door. We have to invite Him in. The third step that we take, once we've confessed the name of Jesus as the Savior, then we proclaim Him as our Lord, the next step is to follow the Spirit. To follow the Spirit. When the Spirit calls, we move. I have found in my own life that when the Spirit calls, I often find myself right away, almost instantaneously, I'm in that secret place. It's a serious place to be. There's no playing around when you're in the secret place. It's a place of tremendous comfort and courage. One of the last biblical quotes that my father ever made on this earth, as he lay in his bed at the Loma Linda Hospital, he quoted a passage of Scripture, and the Spirit says, come. The Spirit says, come. It's found in Revelation. He felt the Spirit calling him. I believe that the way he was interpreting that Scripture was that he knew that his time was on this earth was over, and the Spirit was calling. The Spirit calls us to that secret place. When life is confusing and frustrating, when life is so busy and so active that we hardly have a moment to sit still, to stand still, to do anything, the Spirit stops us in the midst of that and says, come away with me to that secret place. Let's talk a while. Let's talk a while. But you know, you have to hear that voice. It's easy to get caught into routine, into habits. It's easy to get caught up in the strain and the stress of life on this earth and forget to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. Oh, how I wish that we could all hear that voice and follow that voice. It would change our lives so tremendously. I know that in my life I can get caught up so much in doing God's work that I just think automatically, well, you know, I'm following the Spirit, I'm doing God's work. I mean, how can I go wrong here? How can I go astray here? Not. I must hear the Spirit speak. And the only way to hear the Spirit speak is to be still. Be quiet. Listen. Listen for that Spirit. Listen for it to speak to your heart. Listen for it to call you into that secret, quiet relationship, that place where we come in contact with God. And God can speak to our hearts. I think it's beautiful the description we have here of just in this one passage of Scripture, the description of God. Surely, let's go to verse 2 again. I will say, the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Do you trust Him? Do you? Really? You can answer that to yourself. I mean, it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do I really trust God? Or after things are all messed up, I just kind of throw Him the scraps and say, here, put this together. Huh? Or do you call on the name of the Lord? Do you call on the Lord and do you go to that secret place and do you seek His face on your knees asking Him, God, please help me. Please show me the way. I'm confused. I'm frustrated. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. Please show me. The song we sang, I called, you answered. Really? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you call that God does answer? Do you want to be where God is? Really? I want to be where you are. We sing it. Do you really want to be there? It's not a figment. It's not just words. It's not some theory or some idea. It is real, folks. And we're reading it from the words of a man who lived it. He knew what it meant to go through hardship, through difficult times in his life, times when he lost his children. He lost one when it was young, it was born. He lost some when they were older people. He had to hang on to God. He had to go to that secret place. He went into the sanctuary. That was his secret place. He went into the temple. He went and found God in that secret place. And nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can. There's no vicarious. This is a real relationship. Seeking God's face, going into God's secret place, going there and knowing that you will come out with strength, with hope, with courage, with the power that you need to live each day. Come away with me. Come away with me. Come away with me to that secret place. It's a place that we must go to on a regular basis. There's some beautiful analogies here, and I don't know if David intentionally used the words that he used here to connect with the sanctuary, the temple, but it's beautiful because verse 4, he says, I will cover you. I will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. If you go into the temple, into the sanctuary, and you walk through the room that has the lamps, candles, showbread, the altar of incense, and if you go into the most holy, the secret place of the Most High, when you go into that place, what do you find? You find there the Ark of the covenant, God's promise to you and to me. And there on that altar, on that Ark of the Covenant, is a place called the mercy seat. How many of you need mercy? I do. Mercy seat. And covering that mercy seat are angels with wings. I think David's sort of using the visual. Under his wings is a place of comfort, a place of strength, a place of hope, a place with power. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Allow God some time this week, if you would. Allow him some time to spend with you in that secret place. I don't know where your secret place is. It might be on your knees by your bed. It might be in the living room, in the couch. In a comfortable place, reading the Word, praying to God. It might be behind your desk at work. It might be on a walk around the block. It might be a place by the ocean. Wherever that place is, remember that wherever you go, God is there. And under His wings, you will find strength. Under His wings, you will find healing. Under His wings, you will find all that you need to sustain you. The El Shaddai, God is there. You see? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lord, forgive us. We become so busy sometimes we forget that you're real, that you're not just words on a page, but you are a living, a real God, a God that cares for us, a God who loves us, a God who nurtures us, a God who sustains us, a God who created us, a God who died for us, and a God who's coming again to take us home. Help us to spend time to find you in that secret place is our prayer. In your name, amen.